I'm joined today by Dr. Declan Matthews, who will give us the latest update on COVID-19. Declan, how are you?
I'm great, Liz. Thanks very much.
That's good. Declan, a few people have asked me to ask you, are people suffering any side effects after recovering from COVID-19?
Yes, and this is something that's becoming more and more obvious. A lot of people are suffering what we might call post-COVID symptoms. And COVID seems to be, originally we sort of thought a severe flu-like illness and that you'd get over it quickly once it was gone after about 2 or 3 weeks. But a lot of people are suffering sort of severe tiredness. Some people are still suffering from the lack of smell and lack of taste symptoms, which seems to last for a lot longer. But the severe tiredness, that sort of stuff seems to be emerging more and more, let's put it that way.
Okay, but it's nothing too serious, really?
No, but they really are knackered. They're unable to function, you know, sort of 2 or 3 months after getting it. They're still not back at work. So from that point of view, serious enough. There has been some sort of talk that sort of people who ended up ventilated may end up with long-term lung problems. But again, we're not sort of post-COVID long enough to know if that's going to be true or not.
Okay, I was listening to Ciara Kelly, Dr. Ciara Kelly,
yes,
this morning. She's a survivor, you could say, of COVID-19. And she said, like, she's had tests for antibodies and none have shown up. That's kind of strange, is it?
It's kind of strange. She wrote an article in last Sunday Independent about it. And in fact, it was fascinating. And the fact that there's Ciara, there's her husband, and there's 4 kids. Ciara had it and one of her daughters had it. And they got tested and were positive for COVID and were quite ill. So then she decided she'd like to know how much antibodies are within the house. So she went, now she paid for it herself. She went and got antibody testing on all six of them. And they all came back negative. She then went, she knew her daughter and herself, so she went again and got a different test done elsewhere, and again they came back negative, though her antibodies were slightly higher, but they still were within the negative range. She got it done a third time, same story again, and now she's waiting to get it done a fourth time. I think more out of curiosity. So this raises a lot of questions. This raises the question of, they had COVID, did they develop antibodies or didn't they? Did they develop antibodies and lose the antibodies? Is the antibody test any good at all? Is it just not picking them up correctly? So there's an awful lot of imponderables here. And of course, the main imponderable is, could she get a second dose of COVID? And we really don't know the answer to it. We think not, but nobody's 100% sure that she couldn't get a second dose. But it was a fascinating article and worth people looking up.
Okay, so if she did test positive for the antibodies, does that mean she couldn't get it again if she had antibodies?
As far as we know, the answer to that is yes. Though, as I say, we really don't have enough experience of this. So maybe you could have antibodies, but not enough to protect you from getting the illness again. Maybe the antibodies don't last. Maybe they're not good. I don't know. But the feeling would be that if you did find antibodies, she should be able to fight it off again. Yes.
Okay, so obviously we would have liked her to see that she had them.
Yeah.
Declan, a lot of people don't seem to be wearing masks. How important is it to wear one?
On public transport, absolutely vital. In a crowded shop, I think a very, very good idea. And I think probably there is now sort of some evidence, you know, we always sort of said up to now that wearing masks protected you. If I wore a mask, it protected you from me. But now there seems to be some evidence that it protects both of us. And so that seems to be coming in. Certainly, I think in public transport, it's absolutely vital because you're on public transport, you're exposed to a lot of people around. People will be coughing. So from that point of view, I still think in crowded shops, it's probably a very good idea. And most of us, though, at this stage, will sort of pick our times to go to our shops, and we'll pick our times when we know the shop isn't too busy. That's fair enough if you can do it that way. We're beginning to get a lot of requests, a few this week so far, from people who sort of request that, could they have a letter from the doctor to say, I don't have to wear a mask on public transport because I have such and such an illness? Now, I've put my brains to this one and I've asked some of my colleagues, we can come up with extremely few illnesses that would say you can't wear a mask. There's a rare sort of skin condition called epidermolysis bullosa. That might be one condition. I would imagine young adults with severe maybe autism or severe behavioural problems, it may be more difficult to get them to wear them. Other than those two, I can't think of another reason. And certainly the feeling among doctors is don't come looking for a letter to say you can't wear a mask on public transport, because the answer you'll get from us is, if you can't wear a mask, don't go on public transport. And I'm quite adamant about that, and I think most doctors would be.
Okay, one reason that seems to be popping up a lot is asthma. So do you think it's safe for asthma sufferers to wear masks?
I think it's asthma sufferers, yeah, absolutely. And I think people with chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, some of those will, that's people who are breathless from a lung condition, some of those will claim, oh, I don't like wearing the mask and it makes me feel a bit more breathless. There has been scientific studies to show that wearing a mask does not reduce the oxygen level in your blood. So there's absolutely no reason you shouldn't wear a mask. And most people who have COPD are actually walking around with masks on. You can see them at the moment. So if somebody came to me and said my asthma or my COPD means I can't wear a mask, I would say, well, then you should not be going on public transport.
Yeah, I mean, people aren't been told to wear them just for the laugh. Like, it's obviously to protect us.
Yeah, and I do think the whole problem with this was the huge mixed message early on. You know, don't wear masks. Only healthcare workers should wear masks at work. And I think all that was done just to save the amount of masks in the world. But I think now the availability of masks is not a problem. I think they're now coming around to saying we will wear masks.
Okay, and what about children? Should children wear masks?
No, I don't think children wouldn't wear a mask for you. It'd be very hard to force a child to wear a mask for you. There's no huge evidence that children actually pass on the COVID virus, so I don't think there'd be any need for children to wear masks. And as I say, it would be impossible to get them to wear them anyway.
Okay, and what about children now playing outside together with their friends? Is now the time that we can start letting them again?
I think, yeah. I think, we've corralled them for long enough. I think it's about time to sort of let them out. And as I say, there isn't huge evidence that children pass it on that much anyway. So I think it's about time children started playing together.
Okay, I'm sure many people will be glad to hear that. Declan, travel seems to be all people are talking about this week. There is a lot of mixed messages coming in. Out of the 113 new cases diagnosed in the last 2 weeks, 12 of these were travel related. This must be quite worrying. Is it safe to travel or isn't it?
I would be of the opinion that it's not safe to travel yet, and I certainly don't think we're anywhere near that. As you say, a lot of the new cases, or a fair percentage of the new cases, do seem to be travel related. I'm certainly not going anywhere in the next month or two, I can tell you. I'm not getting on a plane, and I think most of us should not, and I don't think it's safe yet, both from the point of view that you're going into an airport, you're going into a plane, you're going into enclosed situations, that's a high risk for catching the virus. You're also going to a foreign country where you could easily catch the virus and bring it back in, and then we're into all that sort of trouble again. So I really feel travel is a no-no at the moment. I know the travel companies and the airlines are sort of screaming for it all to be released, but I don't think it's time yet. I just think the statistics don't show that it's time yet.
Yeah, definitely. The numbers seem to be going in the right direction. Can we now start to relax a bit, or should we be worried that now that the country is reopening again?
I have two views on this. I think we all have relaxed a bit. I certainly think we all, you know, we've all sort of gone into each other's, into friends' houses. And I think it's no problem. A comfortable group, a family group meeting up, or a group of close friends who you know have all stuck to the rules to now, I think there'll be no problem with that. I'd hate to see us all sort of going down to the pub and staying there all night and having after hours and that sort of stuff. I don't think it's time for that sort of thing. But really, we're not allowed to do that yet anyway. But I do think we're heading in the right direction. There's slight worry the way the states is going, the way the some of the southern states, Texas, California and Florida, seem to be in dire straits at the moment. You'd have to wonder, is some of that related to the Black Lives Matter riot or protests a few weeks ago, or is it just something that was going to happen? There's also some sort of worrying stuff coming from other countries where there seems to be a little bit of a resurgence again, and it's quite worrying. The city of Leicester in England, and there's been a few other places where there just seems to be little spikes again. So maybe that's all related to letting us a little bit more loose, and you would slightly still worry about a surge.
Okay, but do you think our numbers are okay, or would you be a bit worried about ours?
2 weeks ago when I was here, I would have expected that this week I would have been saying to you, you know, possibly one, possibly two deaths a week, possibly two or three new cases a week. Six new cases yesterday, that's fine, but there was 24 new cases the day before, and I think there was 24 new cases the day before that again. That's not fine. That's a little bit worrying.
Okay. Jacqueline, I watched that programme the other night. I'm sure a lot of people watched it, RTÉ Investigates. It was about COVID in Ireland. Did you see it?
I didn't, and I deliberately didn't see it. And you might say, you know, you're a doctor, you should look at that sort of stuff. I honestly don't need to look at it to know what it was like. I know firsthand what it was like. I've heard accounts of the programme, and by all accounts, it was absolutely harrowing.
Yeah, it was a tough watch. But the only thing I'll say for myself, it was a stark reality of what could happen, and it would definitely make you a bit more aware, definitely, because, oh God, no one would like to be in the situation. The nurses were absolutely, and the doctors, brilliant. But one nurse spoke afterwards and she said, like, if there was a second surge, she couldn't do it a second time. Now, she's done this. She knows what she's facing, and she couldn't do it a second time. It was just, it'll just tell you how bad it was.
It does tell me how bad it was, and it was very, very bad. And if you think of it, we still got away lighter than we thought we would, so it would have been awful. But I would say about somebody like that nurse, you can bet that if it happens again, she'll be there and she'll be counted and she'll do what she has to do, because they were all absolutely brilliant. It was tough. They were tired. They were cranky. They were not getting sleep. They were bringing home their work, and then they were going home to houses where they were afraid of passing it on. It was a terrible situation for our healthcare workers, but they all played a blinder.
Well, they did, in fairness. It was absolutely, look, it was very hard to watch, but I'm glad I watched it, in the sense, because it's going to make me more aware. It's going to try make me want to protect myself more. And I'm sure that anyone that watched it will feel the same. I mean, like I said to you a few weeks ago, we didn't really see it firsthand. Do you know, we expected to see it a lot more than we did. But if you watch that programme, you see it firsthand.
Absolutely, because I think we all had sort of an attitude. This was something that happened in China, that was happening in Italy, that was happening in London, that was happening in New York. But I don't know if people actually realise it was happening in Ireland too. And as I said before, we got away lightly enough in Cork. They didn't get away that lightly in Dublin. And that programme came from Dublin, and I think it brought a lot of that home. And it just shows you how awful it could have been.
Yeah, definitely. Speaking about Cork, the last 2 weeks there's only been one new case confirmed in Cork. That's brilliant, isn't it?
That's absolutely brilliant. And as I say, we've been sort of slightly lucky in Cork. No, we've all stuck to the rules, and that's one of the reasons we've been lucky in Cork. And I think we just need to keep to the social distancing and that sort of stuff. I think meeting in big groups would be an absolute no-no.
Yeah, we just need to keep going the way we are for another while, I suppose, and look, play by day. That's all.
Absolutely.
We can do.
We've no choice, Liz. But as I say, we have come so far, and I think take the positives out of it. We have come so far. Slight worry that if we get careless, that there could be a resurgence of the COVID and we could get a second wave. Hopefully we won't, but it's just always that little nagging doubt in the back of your brain.
Yeah, exactly. And we just have to, like you said, so we don't get that second surge, we just have to keep doing what we're doing. Obviously, we'll be doing a little bit more, but we just need to protect ourselves a bit more.
Yeah, because we are able to get out. We're able to walk more. We're able to drive around more. We're able to go for spins. We're actually able to go out and eat food. It's just a little bit, we're a bit freer. We're not totally free, but we're a lot freer than we were in the first few weeks of this thing. We also have more of an insight into how to do it, because we're more practiced at it than the awful first few weeks when we were all absolutely terrified and didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah. All right, Jacqueline, thanks very much. Jacqueline, have you anything you'd like to add there before we go?
I do. Just one little thing. As you know, aircom.net is closing down, and that's the way people get in touch with our surgery if they want a prescription or anything like that. I'd just like people to know that email address is now changing just to reception@emmettplace.ie if people need anything from the surgery. So that's all.
Okay, Jacqueline, thanks very much. We'll chat again soon.
Yeah, thanks very much, Liz.